Good morning. This is Leading Age DC, Leading Age Maryland, Leading Age Virginia, Tuesday Stand Up. Today we have Teresa Mandela of Health Quality Innovators, who's going to talk about UTIs in long-term care. And there are some resources on our website that you can follow along with. There's a slide deck, and there are also some handouts that you can take a look at. So go to the Leading Age Maryland website and click on Education and Events, click on Tuesday Stand Up, and scroll all the way to the bottom. Teresa, take it away.
All righty. Thank you so much, Deborah. Today we're tackling a very pesky subject in nursing homes. I've been a long-term care nurse for over 30 years, and actually much has changed in the way we assess, treat, and even code the MDS for UTIs. Today we'll look at the current definition of UTIs in practice and talk about how you use your assessment skills and effectively communicate with prescribers when you identify a resident with UTI symptoms or even a change in condition. We're also going to quickly review the MDS definition of a UTI to ensure that only those residents who meet four specific criteria will trigger that quality measure. I'm a long-term care nurse and improvement consultant for HQI, or Health Quality Innovators. We are your CMS-appointed quality improvement organization for Maryland and Virginia. All of our resources, tools, and QAPI coaching assistance are offered at no cost to nursing homes. So what's the big deal about UTIs in our setting? It's the most frequently reported infection in the nursing home. It turns out that UTIs are a significant cause for hospital readmissions and for sepsis. So when the U.S. healthcare system is trying to rein in costs and save lives, readmissions and sepsis become a very big deal. There's good news in taking a closer look at UTIs in long-term care. By monitoring symptomatic UTIs, you can identify trends and provide data to improve antibiotic use in your facility. The Agency for Healthcare Policy and Research, or AHRQ, A-H-R-Q, along with the CDC, have found that one-third to two-thirds of all antibiotics ordered in skilled nursing facilities are for suspected UTIs. We also know that between 40 to 75% of those antibiotics may be unnecessary or inappropriate. You have residents at risk right this minute for a UTI, and these include older folks, anybody over 85, females in particular, residents with neurogenic bladder, people who are not very mobile, those with urinary incontinence, residents who've had a previous UTI, anyone with prostate enlargement or kidney stones, and lastly, residents with Foley cath. So in these days of precision science, you would think we would have nailed this question, is it really a UTI? Well, first, the nursing home team, the medical director, attending physicians, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants all need to be on the same page, or a UTI diagnosis could end up being a coin toss. And holy cow, if you're like me and you're a nurse, you were born before 1980, you were actually taught in nursing school that if an elderly patient experienced a change in mental status, you should immediately suspect a UTI. This became ingrained in nurses' minds, and actually physicians went along with it. But oh, let me tell you, times have changed. We now know from many studies that a change in mental status is often in no way related to a UTI, and it should not be the only criteria for suspecting a urinary tract infection. And, well, it's kind of true that many of our residents will have what is technically known in our industry as kind of funky, junky urine. It's cloudy, it's odorous, it's disturbing to families, yet again, that's not enough to be considered a true UTI requiring antibiotics. In 1991, a person named McGeer first proposed a set of infection surveillance definitions for long-term care facilities. And then again in 2001, Loeb and colleagues proposed a set of long-term care surveillance guidelines. Based on these guidelines, they know now a physician should be prescribing antibiotics only if the resident has the following. And all of these things are in the handouts that are available on the Leading Age website. If the resident has acute dysuria or painful urine alone, painful urination alone, or a fever of 100 degrees Fahrenheit or 2 degrees Fahrenheit increase above their baseline temp, and at least one of the following, which is new or worsening urgency, frequency, suprapubic pain, gross hematuria, cuffed vertebral tenderness, which is flank pain, or urinary incontinence. In 2012, so this is taking quite a while, and in the meantime, before we had all these guidelines in place, again, we just did a knee-jerk reaction to prescribe antibiotics for suspected UTI. But finally in 2012, an expert consensus panel that included the CDC's Dr. Namali Stone modified the conditions even further. This 2012 CDC-SHEA definition is often referred to as the Stone criteria or modified McGeer's, and it's now considered the national standard for infection surveillance in long-term care. One of your resources for today has the CDC-SHEA Stone UTI criteria embedded in it. And again, you can go to the Leading Age Maryland Stand Up Tuesday, May 2nd topic, and download the suspected UTI SR form. We'll cover that resource again in a moment. Let's quickly talk urine definition some more first. Bacteriuria just means there is bacteria in the urine. The next term is a biggie, so please pay attention. Asymptomatic bacteriuria, often called ASB by infection prevention folks, is defined as bacteriuria in the absence of genitourinary signs or symptoms. Remember that CDC SHEA Stone criteria showed that just because the urine has bacteria, we're not necessarily going to treat unless there are other criteria met as well. There's bacteria in the urine, all right, but it's not causing symptoms, and that's why it's called asymptomatic bacteriuria. So here's the real winner for UTI terminology, and that is symptomatic UTI. Symptomatic UTI is bacteriuria in the presence of genitourinary symptoms, and those symptoms may include fever, dysuria, suprapubic pain or tenderness, frequency, or urgency. All right, so you're thinking, now I get the terminology and the criteria, but when am I supposed to get a urine culture? Well, the Infectious Disease Society of America, or IDSA, suggests urine testing should be performed when a resident has localized urinary tract signs or symptoms. Many of us nurses actually think we are champion sniffers for UTIs and that we can smell a UTI. That's actually not so. Interestingly, odorous or cloudy urine alone are not good indications to do a UACNS. A study reported by the Journal of Gerontological Nursing found that using urine odor to identify if bacteriuria was present resulted in error one-third of the time. And remember the criteria. Even if bacteria is present in the urine, that fact alone doesn't mean the resident requires antibiotics. So what's the harm of treating that funky urine if there are no other symptoms? If the look and smell of a resident's urine is upsetting the family, and there's a chance we can clear that up, why wouldn't we want to treat it? Well, overprescribing of antibiotics for asymptomatic bacteriuria can have some unintended effects. There's this thing called C. difficile toxin, or C. diff. Awful suffering and death with prolonged diarrhea can be caused just by antibiotics, not to mention also adverse drug events. And then there are those pesky superbugs that have become resistant to all known antibiotics. So let's talk evidence-based medicine here. Studies show that giving antibiotics to residents with asymptomatic bacteria does not improve their incontinence, does not decrease their number of symptomatic UTIs, and does not improve the patient's survival rate. So how can we create a paradigm shift in our nursing home? How do we break the cycle of the nurse calling the prescriber for a suspected UTI and ending up with every resident with cloudy or smelly urine being placed on an antibiotic as a knee-jerk reaction? How do we help the physician, PA, or nurse practitioner determine what to treat? They are relying on a thorough nursing assessment, and they need clear, relevant information to determine whether there really is a UTI and how to proceed. The INTERACT tool, which was updated by AHRQ and now called Suspected UTI SBAR form, leads the nurse through symptoms, vital signs, lab testing results, patient history, and then prompts the nurse to include SBAR, which stands for Situation, Background, Assessment, and Recommendation or Request for Suspected UTI. Most importantly, the Suspected UTI SBAR form incorporates that CDC Shane Stone criteria, asking the nurse if the resident's condition meets each portion of the full criteria. This handout, again, is being made available to you through Leading Age Today. It's also available on the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality website. Go to www.ahrq.gov, type in suspected UTI in the upper right search box. This tool, along with other excellent resources, will pop up immediately. So what's in that suspected UTI SBAR form? The kind of things that lead nurses to revisit their critical thinking skills through the use of prompts and checklists and an easy visual algorithm. The S in SBAR stands for situation. Is the nurse calling because the resident has increased urgency, increased frequency, blood in the urine, shaking or chills, a change in mental status, painful or burning urination, suprapubic or flank pain? What are the vital signs? The B in SBAR stands for background. Does this resident have a catheter? Are they incontinent? Are they diabetic? Are they on anticoagulants like warfarin? Do they have allergies? What are their other diagnoses? The A in SBAR stands for assessment. Does the resident meet the following criteria indicated with checkboxes? Things like acute dysuria alone, or a temperature of 100 degrees Fahrenheit, or repeated temps of 99 degrees, and at least one new or worsening of the following: urgency, frequency, suprapubic pain, gross hematuria, flank pain, or new or worsening urinary incontinence. And based on those findings that are checked off on the form, that leads to the nurse's recommendation or request, the R in SBAR. The nurse is also prompted to enter how the orders were received, either by phone, fax, in person, or electronically. Was a urinalysis or a UA with CNS ordered? Then the following questions are to be directed by the prescriber, to the prescriber. Would they like to initiate encouraging 4 ounces of cranberry juice 3 times per day? Should we record fluid intake on this resident? How often would they like the vital signs taken? Will the nurse please notify the prescriber if the resident's symptoms worsen or are unresolved in X number of hours? And lastly, are antibiotics to be initiated? And if yes, what are the specifics? The form even reminds the nurse to contact the family or resident's power of attorney to update them. So let's switch gears from a very clinically oriented discussion on UTIs to one focused on quality and quality measures. There is a long-stay quality measure for UTIs. The descriptor is the percentage of long-stay residents who have a urinary tract infection. Well, why should you care about this? Because the percent of long-stay residents with a UTI affects your quality measure 5-star rating. What's long stay mean again? It means the resident has been in your building for at least 101 days to be included in this measure. The definition of UTI just for the MDS is a little different than you might think. Remember, when coding the MDS, you must always refer to the most current version of the RAI manual. And for you MDS nurses on the call, the latest edition of the Quality Measures Manual was just released last month in April 2017. You can visit the CMS website to view that. A resident must meet the following four criteria or it is not to be coded on the MDS as a UTI. And here are the four. Diagnosis of a UTI in the last 30 days. Sign or symptom attributed to a UTI. Significant laboratory findings. And lastly, current medication or treatment for UTI in the last 30 days. Let's go over that one more time. Diagnosis of UTI in the last 30 days. And that means an actual diagnosis. It needs to be given as a diagnosis from a prescriber. A sign or symptom attributed to UTI. Significant laboratory findings. And lastly, current medication or treatment for UTI in the last 30 days. HQI has created a handy tip sheet for your MDS coordinator. It's one of the resource documents for today's Stand Up Tuesday. You can also email me for the tip sheet, and my email address is tmandela@hqi.solutions. Now, you certainly would not want to code something as a UTI and have a resident trigger if they did not meet the MDS definition of a UTI. This is, frankly, a very common coding area. So let's think about that. What if the resident has asymptomatic bacteria? What if the prescriber writes that they have a UTI, but there's no treatment ordered? What if they're being treated for a UTI, but no labs were done? Only remember, if all four criteria are met, should you code as a UTI on the MDS. I'd love to spend more time with you today using the QAPI process if you're triggering high for UTIs on your quality measures, but we are limited. Remember, ultimately, you will want to do the following. Re-educate the staff and your medical team on UTI assessment and SBAR communication. That's the form we went over. Conduct competency testing for nurses and CNAs on proper urinary catheter care and perineal care. Provide MDS training to the MDS nurses related to UTI coding. Provide education to residents, family members, and or significant others about ways to prevent UTIs. And, of course, you can access resources, tip sheets, and tools from Leading Age and from HQI, your quality improvement organization. If you really want to jumpstart your program and begin lowering your UTI rate immediately, do these two things first. Number one, look at all residents who are being coded each month for UTI, and before submitting the MDS, ensure that each resident meets all four of the UTI coding criteria. And number two, institute the suspected UTI SBAR form for your nursing staff when they contact prescribers. You'll make great strides in UTI diagnosis, treatment, and documentation very carefully. Remember again, you don't need to go it alone to work on UTI's quality measure or quality improvement. You can email us or call us here at HQI. We'll be very happy to assist you with tools and resources, again, always at no cost to nursing homes. Lastly, again, my name is Teresa Mandela. My email address is tmandela@hqi.solutions. Thank you all, and have a great day.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm going to stop the recording of the call now.